Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 10 a.m. during the summer months. Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Amos, chapter 8, verses 1 to 12. In today's sermon titled Summer Fruit, Reverend David Williams tells us that we strive to be that person that God wants us to be gracious, just, merciful, and loving. But because we are small and sinners, we turn away from God's wishes. We must confess this to God, ask for His forgiveness, and keep trying to do what God wants us to do. Let's join Reverend David as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. As we come into God's presence this morning, we come as an imperfect people. We strive, we do, to be that person that God wants us to be gracious and just and merciful and loving. But the truth of our lives and our days is that we fall short of that goal. Here now, as we come into God's presence in worship, let's admit that truth. Praying together the prayer of confession that's printed in our bulletin. Please join with me. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, seeing ourselves as pure when we are not, and great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now hear the assurance of Christ's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from the book of the prophet Amos. I'll be reading from Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along on page 856 of your pew Old Testament. Let's now listen again for God's holy word. This is what the Lord God showed me, a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The songs of the temple shall become wailings in that day, says the Lord God. The dead bodies shall be many, cast out in any place. Be silent. Hear this, you that trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain in the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Shall not the land tremble on this account? And everyone mourn who lives in it, and all of it rise like the Nile and be tossed about and sink again like the Nile of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. I will make it like the morning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is harvest time, it is, across many of the farms and gardens and plots of America. We've got a tiny little thing that I call a garden in the front of my house. And there, a couple of rows of green beans have been cranking away for the last several weeks. See, earlier in the summer, I had very carefully laddered them so that we would get a constant yield at this time of year, you know, starting some and then starting others. Actually, that's only sort of true. I did what gardening experts call rabbit laddering, meaning I carefully planted two entire rows of green beans, and then half of that was eaten by rabbits. So I replanted a couple days later, and half of that was eaten by rabbits. And so I replanted again, and now I have this nice, consistent yield throughout July and August. This is the season of harvest for many of our gardens. And that little bit of harvest we've started is soon going to become a torrent of zucchini and yellow squash, if my Facebook friends who garden are any measure. It's going to be pouring out of the ground like an upside-down green and yellow thunderstorm. We will soon reach that point in the season where roast zucchini and batter-fried zucchini fritters and zucchini à l'orange will be dinner just about every night with the zucchini pomegranate acai smoothies for breakfast. Be so many of those things. They just pour out of the ground. And you know, if you leave them for a minute, they grow and they grow and they grow. And then you've got this zucchini, and it's as big as a tyrannosaur's femur, and you don't know what to do with it. So, you know, that's what unsuspecting neighbors' doorsteps are for. And it's like, here's 10 zucchini as big as your leg. Enjoy. Harvest time can be like that. Time of abundance where the earth gives all of us just a little bit more than we need, and that means sharing with others, if we're in a gracious place, is the rule of the day. But that's not always how harvest goes. That's not always how abundance works out. I've been listening, as I always do, and reading, as I always do, business stuff. And in that peculiar half-reality of our economy, it feels like there is also a harvest season of sorts underway. Wealth is piling upon wealth in this harvest, or so the market seemed to be telling us. As this week, yet again, the Dow and the S&P went soaring up to their very highest places ever. Business pages and blogs proudly trumpeted the return of the housing boom. Finally, home prices are going up again, particularly around our area. If you read CNBC or the Washington Post or USA Today business pages, you find this week a proud announcement of the return of an industry called home flipping. You're familiar with this idea, the idea that you pick up a house as an investment, something that you can turn around in 6 months to 12 months and sell to the next guy down the road for a healthy profit. There's a lot of harvest going on. Folks are making money, and by making money, I mean literally making money. $84 billion new dollars from the Federal Reserve every month, which drives up the prices of the stocks and drives up the prices of the housing. But for some reason, that feels different than the harvest I see in my yard and in the fields around here. It doesn't have that same sense of God's richness, of God's abundance. Because if you look around, yes, this is a time of prosperity, but there are still too many empty storefronts. Or if you live in Annandale, where I live, too many storefronts that are filling with businesses that don't speak to a time when everyone is sharing in prosperity. In the last 2 years in Annandale, I have seen 4 businesses replaced with auto title loan shops. You know, the places that are happy to offer you 23% interest compounded monthly if you happen to need to pay for medical bills for a child or something you can't afford, with your car as collateral, because how long a walk to work could it really be if you can't repay it? Those are not businesses that prosper in times of harvest. And as home prices again start to soar, I do think of it in other terms, in terms of the many families I know that struggle with mortgages on homes priced so high that they put strains on all but the most robust incomes, and God help you if you lose a job. And hearing songs of triumphal economic harvest in this nation where the car may be king, but Motor City is ruins and bankruptcy. Strange sort of harvest time this is. When we hear that there is abundance, and yet there seems to be so little of it about. Throughout history, this pattern of strange harvests has repeated and repeated itself. Sometimes in those times of abundance, wealth doesn't spread to the land. It instead concentrates as riches become the power that seeks to gather more riches and power into itself. This is an old pattern. This is exactly the pattern that the prophet Amos was talking about 2,800 years ago. The passage we heard this morning, which once you get past the fruit basket isn't necessarily the cheeriest of passages, comes to us from around 760 years before Christ, during the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel. This, peculiarly enough, was a good time in Israel. There had been a lot of chaos in the south and in the north, but this was one of those calm times in the struggles of the Hebrew people. For half a century, a full half century, there was peace. The wars between the great empires in the ancient Near East had fallen into a lull. Egypt and Assyria no longer trounced back and forth across the land like a plague. And in that time of peace, the cities of Israel prospered. The educated and the literate power elite that had gathered around the throne of kings grew in power. The strengthening of the monarchy in the northern kingdom, gathered in the wealth of a land that was no longer burdened by war, but prosperity was not something that was shared by all of the people of Israel. For those who did not live in the cities, things were not as good as they had once been. Amos came from a place where things were hard. He came from the village of Tekoa in the southern kingdom. He was a shepherd whose flock would have wandered the hills just to the south of a little town called Bethlehem. And he was driven by a series of visions to travel to the north, across the border to Israel, and up into the area around Bethel, where the great northern temple was. And there, you listen to what he sounded like this morning. There, he was a nuisance. He just bugged people up there, sharing with them the visions he had received. And the vision we got today, it's a little odd. I mean, you think visions, like you've got this vision from God. And there you think golden thrones and many winged angels and words etched in gold across the heavens. And what Amos describes is, well, God shows me a fruit basket. That's his vision, a fruit basket. That doesn't seem as much a message from God as it does the kind of gift you get from Harry and David. This is a messenger from the Lord, and he gets up there and he says, "Brothers and sisters, the Lord came to me in a dream last night, and in his radiant glory and power, he showed me a fruit basket. He also showed me a nice Hallmark card with a picture of a kitten that said, 'Hang in there.'" Strange vision. But Amos didn't know we would be hearing his voice nearly 3,000 years later, because he was talking directly to the people of ancient Israel in terms that they would have understood. Now, we get our own gardens. We understand the dynamics of our gardens. But to get this passage, to really get how it resonated, you have to have a little bit of background knowledge about both Hebrew and ancient agriculture. When Amos says this is a basket of summer fruit, we don't get that he's making a pun in the Hebrew. God shows him that basket of summer fruit and then says, "The end has come upon my people Israel." We don't see the connection because we're not speaking that language. Summer fruit is in the Hebrew the word keitz. And the end in Hebrew is the word ketz. Summer fruit and the end are words that both sound alike, and because this is how Hebrew works, they are related. They are related terms. When we think of summer fruit, we tend to think positive stuff. We think sweet buttered corn and watermelon juice running down our chins. And then we think about zucchini and more zucchini and even more zucchini. But for the ancient Israelites, the term summer fruit was a very particular one. This was an agricultural people, and that term meant this was the harvest that came at the very end of the season. It was the very last of the gathering in, the crop that was brought in just as the growing season was coming to an end. And summer fruit, that last you brought in, didn't last long. You had to eat it or store it quick because it was not going to keep. Like that banana that's gone to brown and tomorrow will just be this sort of blackened mush that you tell yourself you're going to mix into some kind of drink and then it just sits there for a week until flies come. Yeah. Oh, that's my house. It's like that zucchini that has gone too long. Well, we're on the zucchini theme, you know, the huge one, and even though it's bigger than your preschooler, it's nothing but hard skin inside and mealy, seedy flesh. Summer fruit is the very last of what might be edible, and after it is done, the harvest is over. There's nothing more of it. Amos touches on that to give a word of God's challenge against those denizens of the ancient cities of Israel, because they needed to be challenged because things were out of balance. And that's the whole point of Torah. That's the whole point of those ancient sacred codes of Israel, is keeping society in balance. If one individual or one group gathers in too much power, then things stumble and things fly apart. The point of the Torah, which is affirmed and lived out by Christ, is that power and material wealth, if they become our focus, if they become the emphasis of a people, will tear that people apart. They will pull the center out of a society. They will make it no longer focused on God's love and the love of neighbor, and instead doom them to failure. We remember Amos's eloquent warnings, because this Bethlehem suburb native happened to deliver to Israel a message that proved true. Within a generation, it had fallen. It had become undone by its own ambitions for regional power. Hearing Amos, really hearing him, is as important in our age as it was in his. As amazing and impressive as the riches all around us can be, we have to look hard at them through that prophet's eyes, governed by God's grace. It is easy for wealth and for power to become the focus of our life, but when we let that happen, we lose our sense of responsibility for others. We don't seek their good, but instead allow ourselves to believe that profit for any reason justifies itself. But when profit seeks after profit, the whole point of that harvest is defeated. When houses stop being houses, not homes, but just places, you sell to the next guy, then the purpose of the harvest is lost. When a few are sating themselves on that harvest of summer fruit, and literally billions are struggling just to have the very most essential staples of life, the whole point of God's generosity to all of us is lost. As we walk out in a world that is full of abundant grace and possibility, remember that those imbalances are not part of God's covenant desire for us. As the taste of summer fruit rests on our lips, hear Amos, and let your actions, your life, and your own grace and abundance towards others reflect the purpose of the harvest that all of us are called to share in and work towards. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen. Ours is a rich world. It's a gift, it's a blessing. It's a world filled with abundance, it's filled with possibility. An abundant possibility that more often than not, we choose to misuse, that we choose to hold on to. We allow our fears and our anxieties and our hunger and our greed to govern the way we live. As you step out into that abundant harvest of possibility in this week and in the weeks ahead, remember to approach all of the goodness that God has given us with the same generosity with which it has been given. Pour out grace. Pour out kindness. Pour out love as richly as the land gives us the harvest. Because that harvest of grace and justice, is the purpose of the gospel. And it is our call together. Let's go out and live into that call. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, for today and for tomorrow and for our whole lives long. Amen.